Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday. I just want to give a shout out to everyone who has been supporting the show, all the new listeners and all our continued supporters. I just want to say that I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really, really do. I mean, sometimes, you know, as we all can relate, everything becomes overwhelming. Everything becomes discouraging at times, especially when you're working on a project and you're really trying to, you know, go hard with it. It's just really hard sometimes with, you know, living your own life and trying to manage that and manage work and manage your projects. But I must say that with the support that I've been getting, it really has helped me just leave all of that, like, you know, I can't do this alone, and start changing that around to, yes, I can, like Obama says, yes, we can. Okay, so I definitely want to let you guys know pretty much that, you know, if you are a huge part of the reason why I continue to do what I do, because without you, there's no Intune show and there's no Off the Page magazine. I will still be Miss P, but this show would not exist and Off the Page magazine would not be underway if it wasn't for you guys. So thank you so much for your continued support. So for tonight's show, we're going to have Braven Publishing, and that's really exciting to me because, you know, being a writer myself, I definitely, you know, always said that I was going to research, you know, how to self-publish, or basically how to go about getting my book published, or, you know, little short stories and stuff that I like to write, but I never really took the time out because I was so consumed with everything else, with school, being a mom, you know, the household work, the bills and things of that nature. So I'm really excited tonight because now I get to get a full rundown, you know, of, you know, how this whole thing goes. And I had developed some questions a while back, but I never really, you know, pursued them. So, in other words, I get a chance to do that tonight, so I'm really excited to have them on tonight. We're also going to have on the Penologist. So I'm definitely excited to talk to him because he already wrote a book, and he actually sent it to me. And it was so much, I didn't realize, like, you know, what I was getting myself into. And I actually was at work when he sent me the email, and, you know, I was just like, okay, this is a couple of hundred pages now. If I print this off, I still have a job tomorrow. So basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it on my little memory stick, and I'm going to take it to Kinko's or something like that, and, you know, get it printed out on my own time and my own money, because that's the right thing to do. And then I'm just going to sit down and I'm just going to read through that thing front to back, because so far what I've been reading is really interesting, and I'm excited to have him on as well. So I try to correlate these two people together because of both being, you know, in the field of writing and everything of that nature. I just thought it would all go together. So yay. It's just a good feeling to be a writer myself, or just, well, I'm not going to say like an established writer, but I do like to write, and to have some creative people that also are into it on the show with me tonight. So I have a lot of music submissions from people, and I just wanted to put out there that, you know, I love everyone. I really, really do. However, because of my love, you know, I'm willing to play any song because I'll just try to support. However, it just occurred to me that I really can't continue to play any and every song that's submitted due to the fact that the listeners are not with any and every song. So because, of, like I said in the beginning of the show, the listeners are really the backbone of the show. And I have to kind of, you know, piggyback off of that. So a great amount of the listeners gave me follow-ups after a previous show and kind of conveyed to me that, you know, it was a track that was played that they don't ever, 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 ever want to hear again. So definitely made me think that, you know, there are some tracks that are submitted to me that aren't all that or whatever. But at the same time, it's not about, you know, being all that. I just try to kind of, like, put it out there because people – creative time and energy went into it, and I just kind of try to push that into the universe. But again, it is the listeners who has the most control over the situation because they are the ones who tune into the show, and I want to keep the show going the way it's been going. So basically, unfortunately, I'm going to have to stop playing every track, and I'm basically going to have a DJ that I'm going to be working with that's going to kind of, like, survey the tracks and definitely let me know what he feels is feasible and not feasible. And for those that have been sending me a lot of tracks with cursing in it, can you, you know, I ask you guys all the time to kind of, like, refrain from doing that. So if you can, please try to send radio edit versions of your songs because those tracks will no longer get by me as well. So I just wanted to put that out there. Again, I love you all, but, you know, it is what it is when it comes down to being able to please our listeners. So without further ado, I'm going to play a track while we're waiting for the penologist to give us a call so we can get to know him a little bit. Shout out to James Kessie and his family, TJ, all you guys, you're wonderful. If you don't know these gentlemen, please log on and look them up. Last name is K-E-S-S-E-E. Look them up and definitely friend them because they are taking over Facebook with their love and kindness. The whole family is just really a great support system, and I love them to death. So definitely, you know, link up with them if you're looking for, like, a great person that, you know, is real on Facebook. Definitely join the team of the Kessies, okay? So here we go. This one is going to be called Pineapples. And the reason why I'm playing this one is because last night I was supposed to play, but I didn't get an opportunity to because we was having so much fun with the I'm Smack Boys last night. So shout out to the I'm Smack Boys. Their radio broadcast is going to be launching towards the end of the month, so we look forward to that. This one is by Sean Lee. This is a music submission, and I'm not going to lie, I really didn't have an opportunity to really listen to this one completely, so I'm just hoping for the best. I think it does have some curses in it because Pineapples, for those that know, was based off of a comedian and his little jokey joke. So, you know what? Matter of fact, I'm not going to play that one tonight. I'm going to wait until I see what that one is really about, and then I'll get back with you guys on that one. So instead of that, I'm doing a show on the 4th. With BR and Time Bomb, and it's going to be webcast and everything, so Miss P is going to be front and center for that. So I'm definitely feeling privileged to have the opportunity to work with these guys. I love them. I've been to their concerts. They've been on a show twice, and they're actually going to be on one of the covers of Off the Page magazine, so I'm definitely looking forward to them, you know, working with them. And they asked Miss P to come out and, you know, be the host on the show, so look forward to your girl doing that. I also want to put out there that I will be going live, so it won't be no more audio and people calling in. Well, the show will still be the show for the people that are, like, long distance or people that can't really come to the studio, whatever the case may be. But I'm definitely going to be on postdat.com, so that's postdat.com, and I'm going to be doing live interactive interviews, so you get to sit next to Miss P, and you get to look into my eyes and tell me how much you love me. I mean, no, I'm just kidding. You get to sit down and powwow with me in person, and then you get to perform a song, and, you know, then we have some juicy Q&A on you. So instead of it being audio, it's so impersonal, even though I embrace and I love everyone who calls in, and it does seem like we're sitting right across from each other, but there's nothing like sitting next to someone. Well, sitting next to me, I should say. No, I'm just kidding. Let me just cut it out. Okay, anyway, going on with the show. I'm going to take the call. I think we have the penologist on the line. Hey, is that you?
What's up?
Hey, what's up with you?
How y'all doing?
We're doing good tonight. We're just feeling wonderful that we have you on the show tonight, you know, and I know your time is limited, so I just want you to jump right in and, you know, tell us a little bit about the penologist.
Well, I'm an urban fiction writer. I decided to start writing books after a little spins. I was into the music, but my sister was like, you got a lot of time on your hands. You might as well just sit down and write a book one day. So I decided to do it, and something I became to like. A lot of folks started liking my stories and everything. So I just put out an e-book last year called Addicted to Money online at lulu.com. It's a nice story. Everybody like it so far, so that's about it.
Yeah, definitely. I started reading it, and I still haven't. I've been so crazy, and I was just saying in the start of the show that I was definitely going to take it to, like, a Kinko's or something like that where they can print it all out for me, because I literally want it to be put into, like, a binded thing so I can, you know, sit down and enjoy it properly.
Well,
but so far, it is a good book. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry?
I've been sitting down with some people this year trying to get it in paperback form due to my position. I ain't able to push it how I want to because I ain't out there to do everything I need to do, but sooner than later, it should be out in paperback form.
Great, great. So what about, like, as far as, like, downloads and stuff of that nature as well? Because, you know, I try not to do too many books lately. I try to download it because everything is becoming, like, computerized these days. What's your thoughts on that?
It's good to download because you can always just save it onto an extra thumb drive and pull it up on anything you just use. So really everything becoming computerized nowadays, so it's good. It's better than a paperback because you can just pull it up anywhere and use it.
Definitely, definitely. Because, you know, and not to say that good old-fashioned books aren't awesome, because of the simple fact that there are books that I do want to be able to hold in my hand, and there's a lot, like, I have a whole library, and this is why I'm trying to cut down a little bit, but at the same time, if something happens to my little reader, then, you know, I always can turn to a good old-fashioned book. So it has its plus sizes being digital, but it's also good to be a publication as well that you can actually carry around in your hand. So is writing, has that, you said music and writing, so, you know, has that always been, like, your thing since you were a child?
I say anything dealing with the arts, and I just realized I had a craft for entertainment. I learned how to write movie scripts also, but anything I do in the art field, I try to be very productive with it, and that's something I'm great at.
Right. So did you ever think that, you know, in your lifetime that you would ever get this far with completing an entire book? Because can I just tell you that I started 3 books and they're nowhere near finished. None of them. And it's years in a running. So, did you ever think you would be able to complete this project?
Not really, because once my sister kept on trying to get me to do it, and I kept thinking to myself, I ain't know how to write no book. And once I just sat down and did it, it was just magic, man. I had it naturally, so it just flowed. So I think that was more of my craft or the talent I was blessed with, just to take flight with it.
Right, definitely, definitely. And I think that sometimes, you know, it's better that way when it's just flowing through you versus me, who always have, like, a billion things going on and distracted in every way possible.
Yes.
And I can't really focus, and then I start getting frustrated and throw everything across the room, like, F it. You know, and then it stays there for weeks until I pick it up. No, this is a true story. Like, I'm being funny, but it's true at the same time.
but
one of those spoiled brats, you know, huh?
But the best thing about it is once you do finish it and complete it, it'll be a masterpiece because you're taking your time. You just not putting anything into it because you got so much other things on your schedule. With me, I ain't have that. I just had a lot of free time to just think about a lot of stuff. I ain't have a lot of stuff on my plate at the time. So once you get it together, it'll be a masterpiece.
I can't wait. I can't wait, though. I really can't. So what do you say? Like, what kind of advice could you give someone who's in the midst of, like, creating a project like this?
Well, something I once read, it was like, if you don't do nothing to write a chapter or a line or something, a day, don't worry about it if it's the beginning or the end. It's just whatever you think about for that project, just put it down on paper.
Definitely. Definitely. So then, so your suggestion, is to, like, every idea that you come up with, just put it down on paper and then just keep building from those concepts?
Yes. Definitely.
Definitely. Definitely. I agree 100%. 100%. Well, is there anything that I don't know about you that you would like to share with the audience and things of that nature? I mean, something that they wouldn't know, or is it any new projects that you're working on currently that we can look forward to?
Well, currently I'm working on part two to Addicted to Money. It's called Hunger for More. Other than that, I'm hoping to be free soon. That's all I can say. I'm currently incarcerated.
You didn't have to share that. That's not what I was asking. But you know what? I appreciate you doing that, because you know what? The only reason why I appreciate that is because it just sets, like, a goal or just, like, ambition for those that listen in. And that, you know, like, that's not in this position, that, you know, someone in this position is able to accomplish such things, then you're able to, you have all the accesses in the world, so utilize them.
Yeah, I figure, regardless of what your situation is, you got to make the
right
best of it. I don't know how much time you got or how far you got to go in life, but every day try to accomplish something, like setting goals. So regardless of your situation, just be productive in anything you do. So
it
is what it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I definitely agree with you on that one. So do you have any other hidden talents?
Not that I know of.
We have to stay tuned for that one, huh?
Yeah.
Because you'd be amazed, you know. You'd be amazed. Like, there's things that I didn't realize that I can do until I actually, like, went to do them. And then I'm like, hey, I'm actually really good at this. So when I say hidden talents, I mean, like, hey, you just decided, say you never picked up a book. No, not even a book, because, see, we can't use book with you because you already wrote one. But say just cook, and then you decided, hey, I never cooked that particular thing before, and then now I'm a master at it, and I just did it once, and everyone loves it. So hidden talents to me is just, like, something you never did before, and then you just, like, bang it out. And I'm sure you have a lot of stuff under wraps. But when we follow up with you, I'm sorry.
I guess they had to shoot me a friend request and see what I come up with in the near future.
Definitely. I also wanted to share with you before I let you go that I'm going to have Robin Publishing on at 6:30. So I'm definitely going to suggest you to him as a friend, and maybe you guys can, you know, powwow back and forth in regards to your book and everything, and maybe he has some helpful insight that he can, you know, give to you in regards to your publication.
Nothing but. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yes, definitely. I mean, he's actually in Ebony magazine, this issue that's out right now. So he's doing big things. So I'm definitely excited to talk to him, and I kind of booked you two guys together so I could remember to link you guys up.
That's what's up. Yeah. You know, they say God work in mysterious ways, so, you know.
Definitely. Yeah, and he seems like a well-rounded, given, understanding, loving type of individual, him and his wife, so I'm definitely sure that, like I said again, that they have some helpful information for you to help you accomplish or help complete your goal, I should say, because you already accomplished it, but to help complete it, like make it a whole.
That was Well, I don't want to cut y'all short.
I don't want to cut you short either, but I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me tonight. I really appreciate it. It means so much to me. You have no idea.
Well, I thank you for the opportunity, and I see a brighter future, so I appreciate you.
No problem. You have a great evening, okay? And I'll talk to you soon.
You too. Take care.
Yeah, so that was a penologist, and, you know, he kind of put out there that, you know, he wanted to be free. And that was just basically because at this current time, you know, he's incarcerated. And, you know, he took the time to give us a call to talk about his masterpiece, and I'm definitely feeling that. And, you know, I'm definitely going to make sure that I link him up with Robin today for whatever it takes, okay? So shout out to him for giving us a call and today to talk about his book. So without further ado, I'm going to play something. And this song is called Messing Around and is by Jeremy Thornton. And when the Intune show first launched, he was, you know, he was like one of my guinea pigs, so to speak. So I definitely want to just always keep him in mind because, you know, he gave me a shot to come on and let me, like, pick his brain and stuff like that. I love this song out of every great song that he's ever produced. But this song, per se, is, like, one of my favorites. And I definitely, definitely, definitely think you guys would agree. So this one is called Messing Around. Enjoy.
I'm walking back and forth.
Thank you.
Yay. So that was Jeremy Thornton. Gotta love him. Definitely gotta love him. Love him, love him, love him. Messing around. Totally, like, my jam for real. Okay? So, we're about to talk to Bryven Publishing, but before we do, we have a few more minutes. 6:30 is your time. We're going to take a phone call, 832-452-7094. You on the air with Miss P.
Good evening, Miss P. How you doing?
Good evening.
This is TJ.
Hey.
Hey, yes, it's Miss C. Just tune in, and I really love your show and everything about it.
Thank you.
I wanted to comment earlier about what you're saying about your unfinished projects. If anything, if you get anything started, just have the patience. Don't get so frustrated. It'll all come together when it's supposed to. I mean, just keep at it. Every once in a while, just walk by, pick it up. If something comes, pops in the mind, just like the boy said, just throw something down. You know, just any little progress is progress. And before
Absolutely.
You know it, you'll have a finished project.
I know. It's so crazy. You know, I've been saying that for a while, TJ. Like, I'm just going to start writing things down. I walk around with notebooks, and then I never get a chance to write in these notebooks, and, you know, because my day gets hectic and stuff like that. But I'm definitely going to work on, like, this week really organizing myself in my office, trying to organize my office, because, you know, I feel like your space around you is really what helps you stay clear. And being that everything is, like, all topsy-turvy right now, and I'm in the process of putting it all together, that I can't really think freely, and I'm all over the place right now. So I'm definitely going to take that advice, and I definitely love the fact that you gave me a call saying you love the show, because we love you too. And definitely love the fact that you're just giving me some direction and reiterating to me that this is what I need to do in order to complete something. So I definitely need that, you know, so I appreciate you for that.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you so much for everything that you're doing. I mean, I love what you're doing with the show. I love being a guest the other day. It was just, it's fun, and you've got so much positivity out there, and you're just giving it, and everything that you do, and I just love you for it. And like I said, everything that you're doing is great, and you're just steady and productive. And just keep moving forward that you're doing. And no matter what, no matter how much time it's going to take, just know that if you keep moving forward, whatever you start, you will complete.
Oh, thank you, TJ.
You're very welcome.
Well, thank you. And you have a good night tonight at work.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you for calling in. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, so that was TJ, guys. I was telling you, him and his cousin James, they are, like, awesome support system on Facebook. You know, that's how I met them, and, you know, we just became one big family. So I do adore the Kessie family a lot. I really do. So without further ado, is this Bryven Publishing Company?
Yes, Bryven actually is the name.
Bryven, I'm
like
so
Bryven.
Sorry. Oh my gosh, Bryven,
no,
I'm sorry.
No,
I really apologize about. Yeah,
oh,
I'm,
okay.
I apologize, and then I add to the used to, right, by pronouncing it wrong all over again.
No, this is KL Belvin of Bryven Publishing. I'm happy to be on tonight. Thank you for having me.
Oh, definitely. Thank you for being on the show and taking the time out, you know, to talk to me. Definitely. I wanted to, before we even begin, I just had someone online, and I told them that I was going to definitely plug them into you. And he called himself the Penologist, and he wrote an awesome book, which I could forward to you after the show. I wasn't able to print it out because it's a couple of hundred pages long, and, you know, I wasn't able to get to, like, a Kinko's or something to do that yet, but I'm definitely going to do it so I can read it. But I told him that I think that you're the man to talk to about this whole project.
Okay. All right. Well, we can always definitely help out where we can and explain what we do, because that's one of the biggest things, is just making sure folks understand what we are at Bryven and what we can actually do, so there's no misconceptions. Because I think sometimes they hear publisher, and I got people sometimes wanting to slip books under the toilet and whatever. And it's like, like I'm Diddy, and I wish I had it like this, but I don't. But the idea is that we're a service provider, and we want authors who are looking to invest in themselves, because the Lord has blessed us with a lot, but he has not blessed us with the ability to offer contracts like we would love to in the future. But so right now it's about authors investing in themselves, and we take care of the foundational work that's needed to get their book completed. But they got to be willing to put time into themselves and their project and their work, and we'll take care of all the foundational stuff that's needed to go from PC to physical book.
Awesome. So let's start from the beginning. Let's start about, sure. You know, when you established a company and everything.
Well, to start from the beginning means actually how my wife and I got together, because the company is built through, listen, I love my wife to death, so nothing I do
and I love her
without
too.
Her being mentioned. Really, when my wife and I, once I made my transition and was able to get myself upright and turn my life around, my wife had talked me into exposing the world to the type of poems that I had only shared with her. Most men and most women know this, is that they get to see that side of their man that the rest of the world don't see, the soft side, the gooey side, that they don't want the brothers to see, they don't want anybody to see.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife is no different. So she was like, but I think with everything that you've gone through, everything that we've gone through, you should let the world see that. So I listened, and that's another thing that I learned to do, is listen to my better half. And we put this poetry book out, but I didn't have a clue of how to write a book. I just, you know, knew how to put some poems together. I used to be an erotic writer and an erotic poet, so I sat down, I did the research on, you know, what's it take to get an ISBN number, what's it take to get a barcode, what's it take to put everything in place to create a quality book. And then I started to Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is as pivotal in my career as anything, because it gave me an opportunity for free to listen to other professionals in the game, listen to mistakes that they've made, listen to accomplishments they've had, and really just pretty much go to school as I was listening, and then enhance my research from what I had heard on different shows. So once we felt we had enough, we put our poetry book together, and in 2008, I released my first book, A Man in Transition, which is a poetry book and a book filled with observations and poems, and it was very well received, and I went out and I toured, and I went out to different places. I went out, and the first thing people said is, you know, poetry doesn't sell, and I said, okay, well, I'm not going to sell poetry. I'm going to sell my story of who I am behind this book, and I would do the occasional poems that fit the different venues I was in. Well, in the year and a half following, we started to hear from so many different authors who wanted to know how I was able to do it, at the price that I was able to do it, how my book was as professional as the books that they were paying a lot more money for. And in 2010, I said to my wife, you know, I think we could provide some of the things that authors need. And we sat down, we prayed about it, talked about it, and said, you know what, let's do that. And in 2010, our publishing company was created with the idea of giving authors an opportunity to invest in themselves, to be able to have a quality book printed, published, typeset, everything that's needed to give them the leg up that they need to get started. Now, once they're out there, it comes down to their grind. But the birth of this company came about with providing authors the services that they needed. And so between 2008, 2010, that's where we built up the courage to be able to say, let's get this started. And 2010 was the birth of Braven Publishing, which is a combination of my wife's last name and my last name, because same as our logo, the big dog and the small dog. Well, when we bowled together, my nickname is Big Dog. Hers is Little B. It used to be Little B-I-T-C-H, and the term was every big dog needs a little itch behind them. But then we said that was a little offensive, so we shortened it to Little B. So her nickname is Little B, mine is Big Dog, and so our logo reflects that. And we wanted everything about
our logo.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're
we
logo.
Wanted to make sure everything about what we do reflects who we are, our faith, our love for each other, and we do business the same way. And it's
definitely
been very profitable in terms of getting the word out. Now, in terms of selling, it's still a grind. It's still a hustle. I would love to sit here and say, I'm making so much money, I ain't got to do nothing else. That's not the case. But what I have been able to do is establish a brand with the company, with my wife, that, you know, the reflection is what people just read recently in the Ebony magazine. is that here we are in Ebony Magazine and the company and my book is mentioned. This is just part of the grind, and we're trying to provide that to every author that comes to us. But we tell authors, be ready to invest in yourself. Be ready to get out here and do the same things that I did to grind. We'll take care of the particulars. We'll make sure that your book is printed on time. We'll make sure that your book is printed with quality print work. We'll make sure that the typesetting is done. We'll make sure the editing is done. We'll make sure everything is needed for you when you say, I need 1,000 books, I need 500, I need 100 books. They will be wherever you need them to be. Now you got to get out there and sell them.
Definitely. Definitely. So, you know, you were given the whole rundown of what the the author wanted to, had to do or whatever. So there's no contracts that you guys offer.
No, there's contracts. No, there's contracts.
Oh, there are? Okay.
There's contracts, but the contract is a service contract. It's like when you rent a car, you sign a contract that we're going to lend you this car. You can use it whatever way that you need to use it, except you can't be out jumping cliffs with it, and you have to bring it back the way that we give it to. Well, our contract is these are the services that we're going to provide. These are the prices that we're going to provide these services at. These are the rates that we want to get everything done, and this is what you're going to agree to pay us at the beginning and what you're going to agree to pay us at the end. And we're going to make sure we own up to our side of it, and we're definitely going to make sure that the authors own up to their side of it because this still is a business. And I think sometimes folks forget that, that you're not dealing with your cousin from around the corner where it's like, I'll give it to you later when I have to. No.
Right.
And I always argue this. I say, when you go into McDonald's, you don't look up at the board and go, I want a Big Mac. Can I give you $2 instead of the $3.50 that you want for it? You don't haggle
exactly.
There. So please don't try to haggle with me because I'm the little fish. So when you try to haggle with me, the next thing down is free. I just can't do that. So we definitely try to work with the author, but we do have contracts. Also, we have contracts in place to protect ourselves because we put a lot of work into making sure that your book is professionally done. We don't want you, as soon as the book is done, just drop us and that's it. I'm going to go somewhere else. So we do have, like, an out clause in doing business with us, but it's that's standard practice, but I think a lot of people don't research it. So when they read it in a contract, they start to kind of flip out. But I tell them,
right.
Go look at what Lulu is asking you as an out clause. Go look at what Exhibits is asking for an out clause, Author's House or whatever. And some of those places hold on to your rights. Raven Publishing, we don't keep any of your rights. Your rights are your own. We actually make sure that your copyright comes to you directly. So you can see that your work has been copywritten in the U.S. Copyright Office. We take care of that for you also because we want authors to be in control of every aspect of your book because we really want to change the face of African-American literacy in terms of getting more books out there that the so-called establishment may not want out there or feel is important.
Exactly. So when, I was trying to research this for the last week or so, so bear with me because, this is my first time doing this. I'm always interviewing people, artists, and things of that nature. So I just wanted to step out of that line a little bit. So bear with me with my questions. But basically, I just wanted to know also, what the company is, all prices included, like from the quote that's originally given, and are the certain services included, like the cover design, the editing, the layout. The quality of the book, different things of that nature.
Everything is laid out in the contract directly, all nuts and bolts. Everything is put in there. And the only thing that might change is, like, if we may not know how many pages your final project will be. Like, give you an example. You come to me with a project that's 100 Microsoft Word pages, right? I don't know what that's going to turn into when we typeset it and then shrink it down to say a 6x9 or a 5.5x8.5 or a 5x8 book. So when we give the initial quote will be based on those 100 pages. But the standard, like for the cover design, the only thing that changes is the editing and the typesetting because that's per page. So once we get the final amount, once we get the final total, once I know, let's say your final book is 145 pages. Well, then your per page for typesetting editing would be based on that 145. So that's the only thing that changes. Everything else is standard and everything else is set. That won't change, and that's made clear when we meet or when we talk over the phone, is so that way you'll understand that, okay, the 50% down payment that we ask is based on the initial, But the only thing that's going to change is the typesetting and the editing if it's needed per page, or the proofreading, depending on which editing service that you particularly need. That's it. Everything else is going to be standard. Cover design is not going to suddenly increase, and other fees are going to suddenly increase. No, those are set fees, and those are in the contract and signed for. I'm an author first, and I say this all the time. I'm an author of two books. So I know what an author is looking for. I know what an author has the biggest problem with, because it's what I had a problem with when I was selling my own books. So when I went into creating this company, it was strictly for the idea of making things accessible so the author can take care of themselves. So there is no hidden cost. Also, I'm a Christian. I got to answer to God before I do anything anyway. I got to answer for what comes out my mouth long before I put it down on a contract. So with that said, I want people to feel comfortable that the brand, and that word drives me crazy, but it's the buzzwords, we got to use them. Our brand is that we are an honest couple because we're honest folk. And I know that's hard in today's world or whatever. You know what? I've yet to have anyone complain. We have now, we're working on our 10th book now, minus my two would make 8. So we basically did 8 books for 8 other authors. I have yet to have a complaint. You won't find anything negative written about us on the internet. You won't find anything anybody says, well, don't do business with them, none of that. You've not had anybody put anything on Facebook, I hate this company, and none of that, because I take that so seriously, because I'm an educator too. I don't want my students reading it. I don't want my students' parents reading that their son's a teacher, their son and daughter's teachers is a fraudulent business person. So there's so much weighing on it on my end that I definitely want to make sure the author has that when they come to us.
Definitely, and I respect that 100%. And if anyone didn't believe it prior, then I felt it in my bones just from your passion about just, you know, like just relaying that to me. I'm just like, wow, okay, I'm a believer. You know, I believed you before, but if I didn't completely, like my hands are up, you know, they're not tied no more. So definitely, you know, respect and understand that process of it all. And are you selective about the books that you help publish or –
Great, great question, because I knew we were going to get there. So, yes, that's a very great question. Yes, we are. My wife and I do not do erotic things of strong sexual characteristics, because we definitely don't do anything that's anti-religion. Like, do you want to write a book where religious folks are just getting murdered? Because I don't have time for that. I'm sorry. Also, we don't do street fiction, street literature in terms of just for the sake of the hood. You got to have a message, or you got to have something. If a cat killed 1,000 people, somebody got to go to jail or something around here. I need realistic fiction more so than just hood and street fiction. So I don't support anything that's opposite what I feel as an educator. Now, some people will say, well, you know, you're stifling somebody. No, I'm not stifling you, because you don't have to do business with it. I'm telling you up front, it's not something that my company is going to put their name on, because I refuse, and I don't care who hates me for it. I refuse to put anything out into this world that's going to be anti what I'm trying to teach kids in the classroom, because then I'm defeating the purpose. How can I go into a classroom and tell a kid be the best they can be and try to overcome the hood, yet then promote some of the dangers or damages that the hood actually does? And not that I'm not, because I believe every person that writes in whatever form they write, you have the right to sell it. If people will buy it, you have to be accountable for whatever you put out into the world. But as for my wife and I, we don't support it. So we don't create it. But I don't knock anyone from selling it. And it's very important that I say that, because I have quite a bit of friends who do urban lit, and they're very good at it. I just don't produce it, because it's not something that I enjoy to read. It's also not something I promote, but it doesn't mean that it shouldn't be here, because it needs its place too.
Definitely. So through this whole process, is it like, are the people able to constantly contact you through the whole process of, you know, putting the book together and everything that needs to be done
always
to produce it?
Always.
Is
that's
it
one of the requirements.
Easily accessible?
Yes.
I'm sorry
to cut you off.
Myself,
No, I love the question. Actually, my email, by cell phone, by whatever, I'm always accessible, as well as I always ask that authors make themselves accessible, because it speeds the process up. Now, we've worked on books with a couple from California. We've never laid eyes on each other, never touched. Facebook got done, book was well done. We have a gentleman from North Carolina that we've only met one time, and that was a year and a half after the book was actually done, but the time that we were putting the book together, we did it all via the net. We have authors here in New York, like one gentleman who hates to use email, and he finally got a cell phone, so I had to do a lot of running around back to his house to do some things. We use what's available to the author as well as what's available to us, but we want the author through the whole process. We don't just take your money and say, we're going to do a book here, here it is when it's done. Our graphic designer puts together samples of the cover. We actually have a cover design sheet that you fill out with ideas that you may have for your cover if you have some. If you don't, then we let our cover designer, who lives in Denver, by the way, to freelance and come up with things based on what he hears from you, what he reads, and what little bit we send him about the book. He's hit the mark every time with the various different covers, which people can see on our website or on our Facebook page. And we definitely want you to be, and when we finish the editing or proofreading, we send that back to you so you can look over it, so you can see exactly what was looked over. If all you sign up for is proofreading, then what my proofreader will do is make suggestions based on what they've read and send that back to the author. The author has the final decision on what they want to change based on the proofreader's suggestion. If the author now has paid us for design line editing and they want to have the editing done line for line, well, then we have editors that will now go through the whole manuscript, make sure things are worded and said the right way. And then if you need design editing where you need someone to rearrange the whole book for you and basically set things up for you from start to finish, we have that too. And each one costs a different price, but it's based on what you come to the table with yourself. That's why I say we're a service provider. So some people will come just for the services. They don't need us to do a whole book for them. They might just need something edited. We do that. If someone just wants something typeset, we do that. All our services are listed on our website, so the author can see ahead of time what the prices are going to be so they can start to plan their budget out before they come to us. Now, I catch heat from that from other publishers. I'm not going to out anybody and put their names out there, but I've had folks come at me and say, why do you put your prices out there? Because now my authors are asking me questions. I said, well, you got to look in the mirror and ask God why you put those prices out there. I ain't no punk. So you're not going to scare me. I think you're up in the hood. I ain't no fuck. But the idea is I have to answer to God. So I put those prices out there because I believe it's fairer for an author to say, that cost this, that cost this, that cost this. My book is about 60, 70, 80, 150, 200 pages. Okay, I'm looking at about 1,000, 1,500, 2,000. I'm looking at about 2,500. So you know ahead of time. Because it's so much easier to do anything when you know exactly what something's going to cost. We don't go on vacation without sitting down and thinking how much the vacation is going to cost us. And we already know how much we plan on spending when we go. We actually budget to only take certain money and leave certain credit cards home so we don't get on vacation and lose our mind and spend money that we're not supposed to.
Because you know how that goes.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I've been broke longer than I've had those. So I'm not worried about that. But I try to make sure that I present to authors the same things that I would want for myself. And I think that rings through, one, and how the contract reads, one, how our website reads. And we make everything as clear as possible. Because as an educator, this is where being an educator helps. I know what it is to deal with folks who don't understand certain things. So I try to put it in language. I try to speak in language that's going to make it easier for a person to understand. And I'm not belittling anybody, but I'm going to speak to where that person is. Because one of the hardest things in the world for somebody is when you speak at a language that they don't understand, even though you say, well, they should. You can never say someone should anything. So I don't assume anything. I try to speak where it's clear and where a person can get it, and I open the door for any questions. I tell them all the time, don't ever be scared to ask a question. If something come up, don't hesitate. This is your book. I want you to be as happy with it when we're done. And so far we've been able to do that.
Definitely, I can tell because you convinced me to just finish up the projects that I've been working on. But we have a special caller on the line, so I'm not going to keep them on hold too long. So
okay.
Let me just put them on. Hey, you on the air.
Hey, Ms. P, how you doing?
What's going on, my love? How are you?
Yeah, you laughing now, huh, KL? You laughing
I know
now,
who that,
huh, buddy?
I know that is. That's the coconut shrimp. That's the coconut shrimp, man.
Okay. See, and that's why I didn't say his name. And I'm like, you're on the air because I wanted this to be totally a surprise. Yes.
I just want to express my love for KL and his wife. That they're gonna give me an opportunity to have a cookbook with Braven Publishing. And I just want to let everybody know that this man is, I'm going to say, like a semi-genius. That he was willing to meet me. He was willing to meet me anywhere. And we met in a McDonald's parking lot.
Yes. That's the best way to do business, you know. I've done a lot of those,
yes.
You know. I really
Samples included. Samples included, yes. In the parking lot.
I'm telling you.
I mean, the man came with every book, every bag, you know, and he explained the business to me in the McDonald's parking lot. You know, and I think that showed me that I didn't want to look nowhere else and just go to Braven. And,
yeah.
You know, I appreciate you, KL. I really do.
Definitely.
I appreciate you. Appreciate you,
I'm glad you're on the phone, Ro, because let me say this about Ro, is that one of the things that Ro brings to the table that we didn't have to actually show him or do anything, Ro was already a businessman. He was already doing the things for himself through his cooking. And what I showed him was how a cookbook can only enhance what he's already doing, because a recipe book for a brother like him who's self-made, who's self-taught, who him and his wife do tremendous work together, then why not have that book sitting right there in the videos that he was already doing? So he was already marketing himself. He was already cooking for folks. He was already catering events. So why not, once you're done, if somebody liked your work, to be able to say, well, you can do this yourself and offer your services now to be in their home long after you've cooked the initial meal. And to me, it just made sense, especially as a fan of the cooking channels that I watch. And when I see the way Ro puts his dishes out, when you watch any of Ro's videos, he takes you through it in a way that you don't feel intimidated, that this sounds like my cousin or my uncle in the kitchen cooking, and everything that he finishes up with looks tremendous. My wife fell in love with just the pictures, and then when I showed her the videos, she's like, we're going over his house, right? I said, yes, we're going over his house, so babe, we get it together. Also, Ro listens when you give suggestions, so he's not difficult to work with, because one of the things that I wanted to make sure that it was clear is that he had an idea of what was available at what price, so I didn't want him thinking one way, and then when we couldn't produce it a certain way, it'd be a problem, because I wanted him to start to see what I saw in the way his book could look, and he's going back to the drawing board and putting some things down the way that he wants it, because he can understand it and see it. And I think that's the sign of a great partnership when you work with anybody, is to get trying to shape what they see into how you want it, but to take your talent and infuse it into what they see, so they want more of what they see, but just the way that you can do it. There's a big difference. And so I don't try to impose my will on anyone. What I do is I say, okay, here's what I can do. Here's what you want. Now let's work together until it starts to line up so perfectly that I can take my hands back and you do whatever you got to do. So once you put it in my wife and I's hands, you know that we'll take care of your product for you to get it to book form. And that's what we're really about.
Definitely, and I'm totally excited because I looked at Ro's, video he posted on my page the other day for the first time. I had no clue that he had videos up, so, I should fight you, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take my gloves off right now and continue to interview, but what I'm saying is that what
Come
I'm
on,
saying
Miss
is that
easy.
Okay, what I'm
Don't
saying is that I was looking at, right, like just how you explained how he definitely had everything like situated well. This is the mint, and he sold me on the mint because I love mint. So how he had it
there
nice and clean, and how he had it all chopped up all nice, and everything was in his own little section. I was just like, really? Like I've never had salmon and. Right, like I've never had that meal before, but he made it me interested in trying to go and venture out into that nature. So it's definitely a good look that, you guys are working together to bring that to the forefront, because if I was at any of your events, I would definitely want a book to take home and try to burn my kitchen down with, definitely.
Definitely.
Any fresh, KB, gay.
No. I was just saying, you're the person for that just because of the way that you do it, man. You make people hungry just from your pictures. You sent
That's
me that picture
true.
Of the stir-fried chicken and shrimp, and I was like, come on, man, stop playing, man. I'm about to leave my house.
Right? Like playing too many games.
I'm a big guy, too. I'm a big guy. I'm like, stop playing, man. You can't send no big guy pictures of food. I was like, you stop playing. And, he don't live that far from me either, so I might just rush his house one day. when he said a person,
right.
I know it's a citizen.
Hold him to that. Hold him to that, KL. Definitely do it.
Definitely
for real. Because I hate when he does that as well. Like, I'm all the way in another state, and then he starts posting pictures of food. Like, I'm around your way. And I'm like, really? Like, I'm in a whole nother state. Thanks, you know? Like, so I totally understand that concept. But, like, again, like KL said, like, if you when you definitely get your book together, I'm definitely interested in it. I don't cook per se, but I would definitely go and burn my kitchen all the way down to the floor just to, you know, experiment on one of your meals. So, yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to jump in there, too. Ro, explain to your concept of your book, too, so people that's listening can understand exactly what you're trying to do with your recipe book so people can get a feel for that.
Well, the recipe book is like, it's basically like we came up with the concept, KB, you and I, of like in your kitchen. Those who can't get the French onion and the French celery and you know, all that stuff you see on, like, those cooking shows, which they don't actually cook rice, which always rice is a good situation for any meal. When you see a cooking show, they don't usually cook rice. And being that they don't cook rice, it's because it's too easy. But wild rice always goes with a good fish. So, you know, my cookbook is for, it starts out for the simple, and it works your way up to where you should be mastering, like, breaded stuff or, like, lamb. Like you say, mint. Mint goes very good with lamb. You know, you could wrap some lamb, a rack of lamb with some mint and get you some, like, little hoisin sauce and make you a dripping of a champagne, a vinaigrette, and you're good to go. So medium rare and dip and eat, you know, but just the concept alone is those for people who can't get that organic stuff or, you know, go out the country. Like you see on those chef shows, they got these French onions, man. People don't know where to find those French onions. So I'm just basically doing it with the seasonings that you have in your cabinet where you always look in the cookbook and they say, just a teaspoon of salt, just a teaspoon of pepper. That don't always work. That don't always work. So fresh herbs, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and me and Braven Publishing will be on the rise. That's all.
Definitely, definitely. It sounds good to me. I'm excited. I'm definitely excited. But definitely also include things in there for people that are, like, not meat eaters. And, you know, look, I'm telling you how to change your book again, like another concept. But, I mean, that would definitely be a good look in reference to me getting the book because, you know, being that I'm not, like, big on meat and things of that nature, it would definitely be like, hey, does it have any veggie things in here? And I don't eat, you know, seafood and stuff either. So, yeah,
so
we have these two pages dedicated to me.
We have a green bean casserole. We have shrimp and avocado, shrimp and mango avocado. We have like a shrimp sauce, I mean a salsa sauce. You know, we have certain things where you could just blend, you know, bean curd, all that, bean sprout, salad. You know, we have that's going to satisfy the non-meat eaters, the fish eaters, and the salad eaters. So, I mean, when we sit down,
right,
Raven and I, we gonna do it. We got video.
Right,
we got we gonna have video. We gonna have a problem. I think that we gonna use me as a marketing tool to brandish out Raven Publishing.
Definitely, and I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that because I'm definitely going to be pushing Braven 100% all day, every day. For now on, I'm going to add your links to my websites and stuff, and I'm definitely going to ask you to, you know, have a listen in our publication that I'm working on, like a mad woman trying to put it all together. So, you know, definitely want you guys in that. Of course, you too, Ro. You know, because Ro is a big supporter of the show, so I love him for that. So I just feel like, you know, I don't want tonight to be the last time you and I, you know, KL, converse. You know, Ro and I always conversing. But as far as you and I are concerned, because, you know, I might have to pay you guys for some consults or something because of this magazine thing. So do you guys help people that are making transition into publications like that?
Well, my website basically is a young entrepreneur website, www.uptown145.com, where you can find also Intune on there and Braven Publishing with other people that is up and coming. And you can also find Rose Catering Service on there. But basically, Uptown 145 networks with basically anybody that could also add them or add my site to their website, which is called
right.
Network. You know what I'm saying? Free of charge. So basically, I'm just here. I like what I do. And like you said, Ms. P, I love you too. And like we do, stay in touch. And I'm here for basically anybody that's willing to make a significance in the world of life, period.
Definitely. And we appreciate you taking the time to call in.
Definitely. What you're saying is we definitely help as any way that we can. One of the things that I made the conscious decision to do was that I'm not going to make everything about trying to make a dollar. So I would rather sit with you, show you what you need, if it's going to help you, because I always believe it comes back in the end if you do it for positive reasons. So one of the things that we do is that if you need help with something, I'll tell you what books to go get. I'll tell you what books to read. And I've had people say, well, KL, if you tell them that, that means they don't need you. Okay, fine. I'm going to tell them that. Put them in the freezer. Thank you. I'm going to tell them that simply because why not help them? Because if I help them down the road, they're going to remember where they got that help from and remember me anyway. And I think many folks who do business have to learn to release themselves from the money influence in terms of how they act. Money is a tool. You don't think about the hammer when you pick it up, when you need to nail in the nail or open up something up. You pick it up, you use it, you put it down. Money to me is that way. It is a tool. It is a tool that I need to be able to do the things that I need to do, but it does not dictate how I feel. And once I've released myself from that, I found that it allows me to help people without worry. Some people, sometimes they come back to me and say, well, you helped me so much, you didn't charge me. I found you seven other people to do whatever with. That's fine. Or
right.
I found this bookstore. And that's how, to me, I think business should work. Unfortunately, folks of color, we were never taught that, and we've never seen it work. So part of us always waits for the shoe to drop. Many of us, when doing business with somebody who's doing good business with them, will actually start to search for the negative because they go, nah, he can't be that nice. Him and his wife can't be that good to you. There's got to be something else there. You know what? Keep searching because you're wasting time. Because if you're enjoying what we're doing and you benefit from it, why are you waiting for the negative? I don't live that way. My faith is such that I got to try to get in as much as I can because I don't know if I'm waking up the next morning. So I ain't got time to sit there and try to get you to feel comfortable with you. I'm already comfortable with me. Let's do this business. So with yourself, if you ever need us, whatever we can do, fine. Now, again, if there's services that I have to provide, yes, there's a charge for that. But like I said, I'll work within any office situation. Actually, my wife and I go through that when we set up speaking engagements. Some churches have scared away from talking to us. I thought you were going to charge so much. Well, where did you get that from when on my website it starts at $250 and up so we can talk? But at the same time, don't offer me $50 and a bucket of chicken to drive all the way from New York to, say, Maryland. Understanding that the gas alone is going to kill me. Let's work at it. Let's talk about it. So we're here, and I'm trying to leave a legacy behind. So when I'm gone, my children, their children can say, you know, our grandfather, my father, affected literacy this way, affected education this way, helped people this way. That means something to me. It really does. My character, how people see my character, how people see this relationship that my wife owns, how people see me as a Christian matters to me. It matters tremendous to me. No, I'm not going to beat you in the head with scriptures. No, I'm not going to hit you with a Bible when I see you, and I'm not no Bible thumper. And I fight with the church as much as I do anybody else because some of them got to come out that building and get back to real people. So I'm with the people because that's who I've been. That's how I've grown up. I'm a hood dude who just happened to do a little bit better than some others, but I'm not better than anybody. I just put a little more effort into some of the things I do, and I can show you how to do that. That's the commitment of being an educator. But if we all give, then everyone benefits. That's why I network with everybody. I talk, my sons get on my, they say, you talk, I talk to bums, I talk to everybody. Because there's something to be learned from the homeless dude, how to not be homeless. So I want to talk to him too because he can show me how to not be there. I talk to the rich person because he can show me how I don't want to be. So there's something to be learned from every person that you come across with, positive or negative. The question is how you actually receive it and perceive it. So we're here.
Definitely, and I really appreciate that to the fullest. You have no idea because, you know, it's always good to know that if you need someone that they're willing to, you know, like I said, like you just said, not I said, you said, that, you know, people need to learn how to do stuff outside of the almighty dollar. So I totally agree with you.
Can I offer you something? Because I heard you, when you speaking to the gentleman, I think it was PJ or TJ, when I was
PJ,
on hold.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You were talking about the different projects that you had, and I know he said to stay busy because it'll get some things done. I want to offer you something that might help, and anyone listening, it'll help them too. I got this and I was researching it the other night. The first thing that you need to look at is, why haven't you finished it? Be honest. I mean, be brutally honest. Take a piece of paper. I don't care which project it is, and you can just use this format for everything that you got going on, even in your personal life, whatever it was. First of all, ask yourself, why haven't you done whatever it is that you wanted to do with this? Be honest. If you say, I haven't sat down and put no time in it, I haven't did the research, I don't have the money, whatever it is, write that down on a piece of paper. Put a number one next to it. Number two, ask yourself, what is the very next step? I don't care if it's just take one step forward. What is the very next step that you need to do to get started on that right here, right now? I don't care if it's
like motivation.
Write my name three times, whatever it is. Now, the third thing is, do whatever it is that you wrote down for the second. Do it. So if you say, I just need to walk 10 steps today, that's going to be my time. Walk the 10 steps. And then number four, go back to number one the next day.
That's awesome.
Don't make it something grandiose. Don't trip yourself out. Just simply the next day, start it all over again. Okay, I walked 10 steps yesterday. Today, I had the same problem as yesterday, except I'm 10 steps less. Well, keep doing it. Because you cannot eat an elephant at one sitting. You cannot climb a mountain in one day. But you need to have something that reminds you of what you need to do daily, because if I stand at the top of the mountain, I never move. Now, I joke with my students in class. I say, how do you climb a mountain? And I get all type of stupid answers from backpacks and shoes and hooks and jet planes and rocket packs and everything else and mystics and magic, whatever. I say, no. You climb a mountain by taking one step and then taking another step. And then as the time goes by, depending on how many steps you've taken, you've climbed that mountain. Now, the difference between all three of us on this phone is the rate at which we take our steps. But if we continue to take steps, no matter what happens, all three of us, given the same circumstances, will reach that top. Now, no one says we're all going to reach the top of the mountain at the same time anyway. I don't even know if I'd want to reach the top of the mountain with everybody, because I might want to get there by myself just so what I stand there is God, myself, well, my wife will probably be with me too, and just stand there with God, enjoying the top of that mountain because I know what it took for me to get there. I think too often as folks of color, we look at, I want to end slavery. You can't end slavery today. So Why don't you just move towards freedom today? Move a little bit closer to freedom tomorrow. And then all of a sudden you look up and you're free. Now the question is, what do you do when you're free? Now you got to find something else. So if you apply this to everything that you have going on, motion, you're constantly doing something. So time won't be idle and things will get done because you're applying this plan to everything that you're doing. And I learned this as I stay up late. I wish I could get more sleep because I use YouTube to do tons of research and tons of learning. So I don't have to do that reading, which takes me too long because I have ADD. So it drives me crazy when I got to read, but I did. But the videos allow me to absorb enough information to feed what I need to feed and keep going. You keep that in mind. Those four steps will open up the doors to so many things to get done in your life that you wouldn't think it was as easy as it really is. And it really is by just having a plan that'll work.
Definitely. And I wrote it all down as you were saying it, so I'm definitely going to go over this in my head and, you know, take it seriously because, you know, I really need to hear that, and I appreciate you sharing that with me.
Yeah.
Definitely. You know, I just like the way you just, you know, take over, you know. You just boom with your voice. Your voice is commanding, so I can tell you're an educator. You know, if I was in your class, I'd be quiet all day getting my stars, you know.
Yeah, that is suspended and not have to deal with me in the suspension room. So either way, you're going to deal with me. So.
But I'll be quiet all the time. You never have to call my house, ever.
There you go. Well, you know, the command comes from confidence, and it comes from a love of what, you know, somebody is. I think we all have to love certain things that we do. We may not love everything, but you got to love something about who you are and what you do. And it will reflect in how you speak. It will reflect in how you act. And the English language should be mastered. Now, I'm not asking anybody to be a scholar to the point that they can give a 75-minute thesis or a filibuster in Congress. Forget all of that. But you got to be able to get across to someone listening to you how you feel about you, how you feel about your project. And I definitely explain that to authors. If somebody walks up to your table and says, KL, why should I buy your book? You don't ask the wrong question. Because you're either going to leave here enlightened with a book, or you're going to leave here enlightened thinking that I should have got the book, or you're going to leave here going, I wish I had money to buy the book, whatever it is, but you're going to leave enlightened. Because if you're going to ask me about me, if you're going to ask me about my business, if you're going to ask me about my wife, my book, anything that has to do with me, I'm passionate about it, because if I'm not, I can't expect or nor should I anyone else to. I'm a motivational speaker, and I always tell folks this. If your motivational speaker doesn't make you want to run out that room and just do something different, new, get your money back. He robbed you. You just got jacked. You just got old-fashioned jacked. You sat there, and he went in your pocket, took your money out, and laughed all the way to the bank. Because if you can't leave with something tangible, if you can't get in your car and say, girl, let me tell you what I just found out. Write this down, because it's going to help you. And you didn't even put it in place yet. And he's not worth or she's not worth the grain of salt, because motivational speaking is simply, I'm going to show you how to find something in you to be a better you. Well, I can't do that if I'm not passionate myself.
Right.
If I'm not doing it myself, that doesn't make any sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I respect that so much. And, again, I appreciate you taking the time to come on and, you know, give me, if not anyone else, that motivation to, like, see things a little bit different, you know, because I pay, like, hundreds of dollars to go to, like, self-help class. I'm just going to put that out there. You know, I'm not crazy,
okay,
guys,
okay?
For all my listeners, I'm not crazy. But I definitely do this sometimes because I feel like sometimes you need to be, you know, in a place where it's a bunch of people that are, you know, reaching for the same thing.
Gotcha.
Because sometimes you can go to people that you know, and if they're not positive in that way or trying to be or can give you that positive attitude or reinforcement that you need, then you really leave in that conversation with nothing. So I feel like sometimes I take myself out of the people that I know and I put myself with people I don't know because we don't have nothing to really converse about. We're all here for the same thing and seeking the same thing. We can't talk about what happened last May because we weren't together last May. So basically, because we're all focused on the same common goal, I go to these self-help classes, which is called the Landmark Forum, and it's just basically the reflection of self and what you created for yourself today and how to let go of the past and move forward. So I'm learning how to do that, you know, but I guess with, you know, I'm making excuses, which it shouldn't be, but being a full-time mom, full-time working on these projects, and definitely going to school full-time has really slowed me down a little bit because then you have your papers, speaking of thesis, by the way, and you have all these, you know, things that's due. So basically it kind of like my brain power can't focus on writing for myself and then writing 1,000 papers at a time.
No,
do every week.
And I understand it because I've been there, and I've done all that, and I got you. But I'll tell you like this. I know I sit with a lot of parents who come and sit with me, and we talk about a lot of that. Here's my question to you, and I'm gonna be as brutally honest as I can be. You said you're a mother, right?
Yes.
If your child was sick, would any of that other stuff matter?
It wouldn't.
So you find time, right?
I do.
So,
so basically,
sick,
I can find time.
Right, there you go. So you already beat me to the answer. You already know. And I say it all the time when parents go, I don't have time to come up to the school. I say, miss, if I called you right now and said this man put his hands on his daughter, you'd run off the job. And you wouldn't care if your boss said, if you leave, you fired. You tell that man he can kiss every part of your behind that's there because ain't nobody going to touch your child. And you get there. If I told you that somebody beat your child up, you'd be there with auntie, uncle, everybody, a weapon, everything possible,
right,
up at the school, ready to get it in. So here's my question. Why does it have to be that to get you to move with that same sense of urgency that if you moved with other aspects of your life, things wouldn't have to be as difficult as they are now?
Thank you.
What sacrifice are you going to make for the dreams that you say you have? Because if you're not going to make sacrifices, you just got great wishes. You don't have great dreams. You just got great wishes. Ooh, I wish I had my degree. Ooh, I wish I was the greatest parent ever lived. No. If you dream of these things, and that means you got to be willing to sacrifice something to get your dream. We love to talk about what we want. We don't actually discuss what it takes to get. Now, that leads me to something that I share with the young men's group that I have when I mentor with them. four steps, and I like to keep things in fours. It makes it easier. First is who are you? I mean, detailed list of who are you. What are the things that make you you? Second, what is it that you want? What is it that you really want in this world? What is it that you want for you? Third, how you going to get there? How you going to get to the things that you say you want? And fourth, when you get it, how you going to keep it? So you got to figure out where on that line you are, and wherever you are is going to require some type of sacrifice. If you don't know who you are, you're going to have to sacrifice time to sit down and say, who am I? So you need to sacrifice time. If you know who you are, what you want, and you haven't thought about it, you're going to have to sacrifice time again to think about what exactly it is that I want. Now, once you figure out what it is you want, how are you going to get it? Now, that's a major sacrifice. What are you going to give up to get the very thing that you want? Now, once you've done all that sacrifice and you've accomplished your goals, you got it. You got the degree. You got it. The kid graduated from school. Okay. How are you going to keep it there? How are you going to stay at that level? How are you going to stay at that point in your life? How are you going to not go backwards? How are you going to use this degree to some type of profitability for yourself? So now you've got to find a way to stay there, which might be the most difficult challenge of everything else, is that they always say it's not a matter of getting rich, it's how you stay rich. Well, either way, you got to find out where you are on that timeline and sacrifice something. So there's going to be sacrifice given for the things that you want. The question is, where are you at with it? And are you honest with yourself in doing that?
I love it. And you know what's so ironic about this whole conversation and why it's just like, you know, I needed to have this conversation tonight because in one of my classes, it was definitely, that was the question, who am I? And, you know, we had to write a whole essay on that. And it was so, like, mediocre to us because we were like, hey, what do you think we are? You know, kids and whatever. But it's amazing how many people didn't know how to respond to that. And that's actually, it became one of my questions for entry into the magazine for artists, like, who are you? So basically what I'm just conveying is that that really, like, hit home for me. Because I was the only one in that class who got an A+ for who I was.
Right.
Not,
right.
Hey, my name is Precious Owenson, such and such and such. You know, like, that's little kid stuff, the stuff that we were complaining about in the class, like, why do we have to even do this project? You know what I mean? So it was a little bit deeper than that, and no one really got that. So for me to know who I am and what I want, and then what it is, like you said, at this point, I know who I am and what I want, but now I just have to make the sacrifices to go forward. So I really appreciate you for, like, clearing my head with that. And this is why I love to be around amazing individuals like yourself and not people that can't bring something to my attention that I'm missing. Like, it's there, but I just need to get that, you know, that energy going where it just, like, resurfaces itself. And I'm just like, hey, I knew this, but I just needed a refresher.
Another place that you can go, if you ever need a refresher of just motivation, sometimes we look to the rich and they say surround yourself with the very type of people that you want to be because you can gain something from it. And I agree. But I also think there's a thing that's forgotten. Sometimes you need to go to a shelter, go to a hospital, donate a day at an AIDS clinic. Donate a day at a shelter. Go sit down and talk to a couple of homeless people and ask them, and don't tell them it's you. Say, if I gave you a Blog Talk radio show, if I made you a parent, or if I gave you, tell them your situation. Ask them, how would he feel about having your situation? Look how excited that they get just for the situation as you have it now. So now ask yourself, if there's someone that would get so excited to have my life as is, is my life that bad? So sometimes we can get caught looking at our dreams so much that we forget that things are not as bad as we really make them out. We just have to rearrange things so that it makes more sense so we can go after the things that we want. And I think, and again, I'll always refer back to my classroom. I tell students each year, and I've been teaching health, and I teach PE, but I've been more so a health teacher as well as a dean. When I have kids in my office who have been very aggressive and stuff like that, I go, what are you fighting for? There's someone right now laying in a hospital bed who would kill to have your life as is. With all the problems, with all the troubles, with the abuse, with everything that you're going through, they would kill simply because they only got a couple of days left or they got some disease that they can't get rid of or so forth and so on. We have to make sure that we keep ourselves grounded enough that we don't push ourselves in such a corner that we don't know which way to fight. Yes, you want to strive and you want to get as high as you can on the things that you want. But when you keep yourself grounded to where you are and that the Lord placed you in that place for a reason, then it makes that push just a little bit easier to deal with. You know what, Lord, my life ain't that bad. I'm just going to try to make it a little bit better. And all of a sudden, you'd be surprised how things open up. My wife and I didn't even know that the article that we submitted to Ebony had actually been accepted. We had just put it out of our minds, I think, late November, early December. I said, well, we're not going to write the lady anymore, asking her. She said that it's about 90% positive that we would be in the magazine, but we didn't give it too much thought. We didn't want to keep troubling anybody. We said, if it comes, it'd be a good thing. And sure enough, we found out a couple of days ago when a friend of ours from Atlanta posted on Facebook and said, I'm sitting here and I just seen your article in Ebony, and we ran out like two little kids to the Walgreens to buy a bunch of copies, not thinking we could buy one copy and make copies. We bought like four copies, so Ebony made a bunch of money off of us. But it was just the idea that we made the magazine our story about us. The title of my book, the company name, is in the collector's item, collector's issue of Ebony with Red Tails on the cover. And I said, do you know how many people are going to see this that are now going to see our company, our name, our story, my book title? And I thought about that, and I said, you know what? There it is right there. We didn't worry about if it was going to be there. We just had, if it is, it is, because we still were going to do the things we need to do. And just to now be able to see it and to enjoy the idea that it is and to be able to use that, it actually gives us more credibility than we had, and it makes me feel then what we're doing is working because the Lord continues to bless us. And I think that's what people have to remember, is that sometimes you just got to stay within where you are and watch how the Lord opens up the doors for you. Watch how he leads you in certain directions when you're truthful to who you are and the people that love you and the talent that you have. And that's what we try to do, and we try to emulate that in all that we do.
Right, and I can totally see it, and I love it, and I appreciate you both, you and your wife, for coming together and you know, bringing this forward and putting it into the universe so people like myself and, you know, so many others out there that are oblivious right now, but now we'll have another resource like, you know, the Ebony magazine, all the stuff that you guys do together as a team, and, you know, just having amazing people like Ro and then now Miss P, who's going to definitely be pushing you, like, from this day forward, you know, because that's all it takes is for me to sit down and resonate with someone, for them, for me to automatically embrace them as family and look at it as so. So that's why I try to always remain neutral and cordial no matter what it is, no matter how my day go or whatever's happening in my life with everyone, because, you know, my day has nothing to do with you. And I don't ever want anyone to walk away, like you said, and remember me for being something that I'm not just because I had a moment. So I really, 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 really appreciate the time that you took to talk to me today, even outside of the publishing, because, you know, this all comes together, believe it or not, people. This all comes together in some kind of way where it's like, you know, your attitude has to be focused in order to reach the goals that you want in this business. So that's basically what he's putting out there. So he, you know, anybody that's interested, tell them where they can find you at, again, all your social networks and things of that nature.
Gotcha. Grab a pen, guys. We got a lot. Here we go. First and foremost, our website, www.bravin, that's B-R-A-V-I-N, publishing.com. That's our main page right there. On Facebook, it's Bravin Publishing. We have a Facebook page, Bravin Publishing. My wife and I also do a radio show. We should be back up in February. We're looking to be back up in February, God willing, which is Black Love Radio. We actually have a page for that. I am K.L. Belvin on Facebook. My wife is Tiffany Braxton Belvin on Facebook. And everywhere else we are, just look up Bravin Publishing or KL Belvin. I don't want to give them all because I don't want to bore the people to death. But we're on Twitter, Bravin Books on Twitter, KL Belvin on Twitter, Black Love Radio on Twitter. And we'll respond to any contacts that's given. We do everything ourselves. We do the promotional materials ourselves. We try to show authors how to do as much as we can, show them how to do it for themselves. So whatever we can help with, and of course we sell books, so we hope that folks will support us, purchase the books. All our books have some fantastic value. We have a little bit of everything, great reading, well-written, very well professionally done, so we hope that folks will support us. And, you know, at the end of the day, we are a black-owned business that's trying to make a difference in the African-American literacy community by showing others that may not look like us that they can be comfortable with doing business with us, not the other way around. We want everyone to come to the table because our stories are that good. Just like Red Tails is proving right now that an all-black cast can be the number one movie in the box office if folks will go out and support it. But you know what? Braven Publishing is showing you that we can have a variety of different genres and books if it's just supported. So I'm praying that the Ebony article will bring attention to what my wife and I do and that folks will start to buy the books, not just from my book, but the other authors that we deal with, because they've taken the time out to put themselves out there with the hope that someone will read their work. And so that's what they can do for us and where they can find it.
Definitely. And I just friend Tiffany, and I just liked Black Love Radio. I added your link to my website already.
Gotcha.
So people, you know, to make it accessible for those that are listening and lazy like Miss P, but Miss P is about to snap out of it, thanks to KL, definitely go, and they're already members of the Intune website. You can just basically go on the links page and find KL and Tiffany there. So for all those that tuned in tonight, we just want to tell you that we appreciate you as well, because without you guys, you know, this wouldn't be. So I definitely appreciate you again, KL, for coming on the show. I look forward to, you know, synergizing with you and your wife. You guys are like my idols right now, and I definitely respect I respect it more so because it's a couple, and it's a strong black couple that just decided to just take something and just create something that's so powerful for the universe that is just like on a tilt right now. So definitely believe, like, this, the steps that you guys are making, I'm just definitely there to support it every step of the way, because it's just amazing to have a couple that's together, and it's not like people that come on that's like, oh my God, well, my man and my girl and this happened and this happened, you know, like, you know what I mean, like my ex-wife,
yeah,
and then we in court,
definitely,
you know, it's just always
definitely
these stories, and just to hear the love, definitely, and the passion and, you know, just the drive and the determination between you and your wife is just so inspiring and amazing to me. And I hope you guys are, you know, that are listening in, definitely take notes on not only what he just gave me, the four steps, but definitely a note on relationship, on faith and belief, on determination, stride, and progression.
Without question. And we would love to come back, because I would love to have you have my wife on, because that's
definitely
the other part of what we do, is we're working on a seminar and small book, Making Marriage Cool Again. We're really trying to push black marriage, and when I say black marriage, I'm not excluding any other culture. I'm just saying right now we have a schism in the black community with marriage, and I'm trying to repair that by putting myself in the void and trying to hold some things together. And so that's what my wife and I are about. Other cultures seem to have their marriages somewhat in place in some cases, whereas we got too many baby mama situations, and she comes from a broken situation. I come from a broken situation. I had multiple children. She's the product of a father of multiple children. We got to start getting our young ladies and young men together and to understand that marriage can be so cool if we allow it to be. We just have to get back to that. And that's another thing that we're promoting with what we do. And we're actually working on a seminar to start with churches or small organizations where we can simply just make marriage cool again. And we actually have a whole plan laid out that we're going to show folks how to do it again and use our marriage as the focal point. So they call us the Hood Obamas, and I'll take that. I try not to get political, but they call us the Hood Obamas because of how we carry ourselves in a regal way. But it really is just we love each other. And our love has actually caused people to come over and say, you two look so funny together. How long you've been married? People see it. People sense positivity. People sense happiness. People can feel and see love. So if we can teach it and show it, we got to stop looking to it from TV. We got to stop listening to other folks telling us what it is and start creating it ourselves. And it's possible. And that's what my wife and I are really about, is just showing you that two hood kids, her from the projects of Brooklyn and me from the projects of South Jamaica, can elevate yourselves to where folks don't even realize that we're from the projects. And that's a great thing. And so we can show, we're trying to show folks how to do it for themselves. So.
Right, definitely. And I'm thrilled. So as soon as you guys, you know, are ready to, like, come on, just definitely let me know. And not for nothing, guys, and, you know, I hate to sound crass, but if I have someone on a day that you guys are available to come on together and talk about this, then I'm booting them over to another day, because I would love
no,
seriously, I would love No. That definitely has to happen sooner than later because, you know, and like we were just expressing, you know, we need to bring that back to people because the worst thing that ever happens, like, if I'm by myself, then I'm by myself, and I'm not complaining about past situations because it's just an experience in my mind. I already accepted it and let it go. But there's so many people that I'm around that's 24/7 that's basically, like, that's all they talk about. That's the entirety of the conversation. And, you know, I get weary with that. And, you know, whether you're the person that's involved or not, just being a person that has to be on the receiving end of it can be overwhelming sometimes. Yeah. You know, so basically if more positivity is put out there and the more positive things that I have going on as far as talks and stuff, and I can definitely pinpoint a lot of people that need to be tuned in that night, I think that if we get an idea of when we want to do this, that's more important than me talking about something random.
Gotcha. Well, we would love to because I just
definitely
I think it's when people hear us, and my wife is sitting there now, and certain things I'll say, she smiles and she's waving at me. But these are the things that folks can see, and it has nothing to do with how much money you have in your pocket. We can have much fun over some bologna sandwiches as if we were eating steak simply because we're with each other, and that's what's missing. Folks have stopped just enjoying each other's company. Folks have stopped just wanting to be with each other. How many times you heard men refer to their wife in some derogatory term as if the relationship is draining them of life and not sustaining them? And it's like, well, if you're talking like this in public, Lord, what are you thinking at home in private? Because you're not saying this to your wife, and God forbid if you are. So when does it start to be cool again? How do you extend the marriage? How do you extend the hoopla of I do to walking down the street? You know, I met a guy who was married 50 years, and they were one of the cutest old couples that you could ever meet. So I'm sitting there talking with him, and I say, hey, old-timer, 50 years? He said, yeah, man, 50 years. He said, I probably couldn't leave him now if I wanted to. I said, okay. He said, but you know what? You want to know something? I said, sure. He said, 38. I said, 38, what's that mean? He said, I've had 38 of the 50 have been wonderful. 12. And I said, well, how do you know? That we had so many good years that when we had the one or two bad ones, it stood out. He said, but I'll take 38 over 12 any day. And that right there, I said, you know, so in all of a quick little sentence, he's letting me know that it's not always going to be great, but I'll take more good years over bad. And look, 50 years later, they're still together. And this stuff that we used to have that. I just feel we got to find a way to get it back. And so my wife and I are trying to do what we can. So we would love to come on in the future, and we're definitely going to speak again and network and do anything that we can because we want to help anybody that's doing something progressive. And if there's anything that you need from us, there's any way that we can travel, if we can get there, listen, we sleep in our van if we have to. If there's anything that we can do, don't hesitate.
Definitely, and you would never have to sleep in your van if you was in New York because you guys are welcome in my home, okay? I just want you guys to know that. So it's never a question of that, you know, it's just, you know, never. Yeah, definitely. So definitely let Tiffany know that I friended her, so she's wondering who I am. She may already know. But it's me.
She has everybody.
Okay, great. And, yeah, definitely. And then I send you something on Facebook just to get your thoughts on it as far as the magazine's concerned, and you can just let me know at your leisure what you think of that. But, again, I thank you so much, KL, and I thank you, Tiffany. I love it. I love it. And I'm just so pleased, grateful, thankful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, guys.
You can hear it in your voice,
too.
And that's a wonderful thing. Keep up the great work. You can hear it in your voice. You're a wonderful host. And I just pray the Lord all the success that's due to you. So whatever we can do, we're here.
Oh,
KL.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much,
yes,
KL. Have
KL,
a good night.
I'll see you soon, KL.
All right, bro. We'll talk soon, brother. Good job tonight, brother. Talk to you soon.
Hey, man. Love you, baby. Love you.
Okay, thank you so much, bro. Okay, thanks, bro. And we'll talk soon, okay, on your interview, bro.
All right.
Okay.
All right, now.
Yeah, guys, so that was Braven Publishings. I love them. Shout out to KL and Tiffany again. Shout out to Ro. Oh, my goodness. I just feel so amazing. And it's so liberating to just be around strong, focused, determined, loving, passionate, given. Oh, my God. I can go on for days. I can go on for days with the words. But you know what? I think I'm going to stop here. I definitely appreciate the conversation tonight. It was very inspiring. For those that tuned in, I just want to thank you again for tuning into the InTune show. I really didn't have too much music on tonight, so I'm going to remedy that with a song. And then I'm out of here for the night, ladies and gents. So let's see what the song is going to be. Let's see. So I'm going to play Scandalous, and the song is sung by David Majors, and it was produced by Music from Heaven. So listen in.
You're so scandalous, baby, you can't keep the mandolin. I don't know what to do, tell me what to say. I feel like it's too late, is it too late? Oh, this ain't easy, baby, no. You got your ups and you got your downs. I make you smile, but you make me frown. No one damn thing. Can you tell me what you think I should do? Baby, I just wanna know the truth. Yeah, yeah. You're so scandalous, baby, you can't even handle it. Your time, realize that you might be the devil in disguise. Or trying to make you see eye to eye with me. No, it's gonna happen, girl. Cause you destroy so well.
Guys, so once again, I want to give a shout out to Braven Publishing. For those that are not a member on the InTune website, you can log on to www.ntuned.webs.com and become a part of the family. The reason for the InTune show is to stay updated with the latest and the greatest on the InTune show and all our wonderful family members, meaning you and all those that you refer to our site. We are family. We are coming together. We are making a difference in this world. And it's going to take everyone to come together to make this all happen. So I look forward to growing with you guys. And until Tuesday, stay in tune with Ms. P.